Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's 7:20. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. We, of course, watch what is happening around, well, in the United States and then around the world in terms of the tariffs. And in some ways, it's very confusing because we did know that Donald Trump promised this. But what does it all mean? What does it mean to the American economy and the rest of the world? Well, John Day is a U.S. attorney. He joins us this morning to try and help us figure out what it all means. John, a very good morning to you all. Late evening for you, but good morning nevertheless. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Nice to chat to you again. First of all, can you just give us an idiot's guide? You know, we used to have those books, The Dummy's Guide to Something. Well, give us The Dummy's Guide to the Tariffs. What is actually happening?
What is happening is that Donald Trump is basically fulfilling the promise he made during his election campaign to impose tariffs. But I think what's happened is they have gone maybe beyond the scope of what anybody anticipated. What he said is basically every country in the world, including apparently some uninhabited islands off of Antarctica, are being hit with tariffs based on a formula that it's a little bit hard to unravel. Mm-hmm. But It's an across-the-board placement of these tariffs that Trump has said are reciprocal. It's supposed to address what he said has been this universal trade imbalance where, in his view, the U.S. has been taken advantage of. And so what it's done is upend the stock markets here. It's given people – it's confused people – who are wondering what the formula is and what the strategy is.
I didn't know that you're going to say what the formula is, and, I should have known better.
Well, there are people who think that he's got a master plan and that he is using this as a way to force negotiations with countries that he's targeted, in particular China. But I mean, the reality has been that no one, at least here in the U.S., has a firm grasp on what, if there is a master plan, what it is. And he's getting a lot of pushback from people who ordinarily are some of his biggest supporters, like Elon Musk and Bill Ackman, a billionaire investor, and so on. So the short answer is it's a lot of uncertainty. It's a lot of disruption. Of course, Trump is the master disruptor. And if you believe his people, he's got a master plan. He's playing, five-dimensional chess here. And on the other hand, people say, well, this wasn't thought out very well because the markets lost $6 trillion since Thursday, I think. And Elon Musk even lost $31 billion. And he's one of the people who's pushing back against Trump. Fascinating.
Is that why we are starting to see a little bit more of a separation between Trump and Musk? Is it around this, or is it that they just felt that it was almost too much for the American public, maybe the world, to have Musk and Trump so close?
Well, good question. I think a lot of people have been predicting that at some point there would be a falling out of these two massive egos. But I think in Musk's case, he's been pretty direct in challenging Trump, which is pretty unusual. And whether that is indicative of some kind of bigger rift or more permanent rift or a drifting apart, I don't know, because Trump seems to, have a lot of affection for Elon. But, there are also lots of other people, though. I mean, Wall Street here is roiled. I mean, people don't know what the plan is. And as of today, it was still things were sinking. I think the Asian markets are coming back a little bit from what I'm seeing, but still it's and the thing with China has gotten fascinating because now Trump has put basically 104% tariffs on China. China says they're fighting back. They're not caving the way apparently a lot of other countries are doing. At least Trump says they're calling him to try to make deals. So either he's a master negotiator who is smarter than all the rest of us, or he is winging it a little bit.
So I just wonder if he isn't saying, guys, listen, we're in a completely unfair position, which I happen to think he's right about. I believe, and if I look very, very narrowly at South Africa, I think South Africa has abused the relationship with the U.S. It's a very much a take relationship. We'll take aid. We'll take, AGOA. Thank you very much. We'll take whatever we take. But in the meantime, we'll continue to insult Americans and the U.S. president. And we will pretend to reject everything that you stand for, but we'll take it. So if I look at that, I would imagine, maybe that's a bit of an extreme, but I would imagine there is a lack of parity everywhere. Isn't what he's doing saying, guys, enough. I am just clearing this deck, and now we're going to start again. And we can look at individual cases, which it looks like he's starting to do, case country by country, in order to determine what is an equitable trade tariff a process to protect local industry as well as still have these relationships. Isn't that really, I mean, he's done it in a very clumsy way and in quite a shocking way. But isn't that really what he's getting to, hopefully?
That is, and that's a good point. It is, it's what he's getting to, and it's also the basis for his support here in the U.S. I mean, I think his poll numbers are down a bit, but you still have, I think, a base of 42% of Americans who totally support what he's doing, and they support it because what he pitches that message of, look, we've been taken advantage of. American producers, American exporters can't get into these foreign markets because the tariffs and the VAT figures are so high that we can't get in there. And his message of, I'm just trying to level the playing field, as we say, that message resonates with a lot of people here in the U.S. because it does, his message has been generally we're being taken advantage of and that's going to stop with my administration. So that's why it's successful domestically. And also the concept of, is he doing this to try to bring each country into the negotiating table to get better deals? That's why he does have support here, because that is, it's a message that's resonating.
It's really remarkable to see. Is there any sense of that he will take this criticism seriously or the concern seriously? If he's not taking it from Trump and Bill Ackman, who would he take it from?
Well, that is the question. Is he going to moderate some of this? Because I think the pushback he's getting from the business leaders in the U.S. and around the world too, but is that going to make a difference with him? I was just reading that his Treasury Secretary, who's a Wall Street billionaire hedge fund guy, a former Democrat actually, flew down to Florida to meet with him on Sunday to try to say, look, you've got to moderate this this message because the turmoil that it's causing is not going to be good. That's going to be the key question is, does he feel like he's made his point and now it's time to make the deals, or does he listen to the hardliners who are telling him, no, we've got to keep these tariffs permanent. We've got to, make sure that people are building factories in the U.S. and manufacturing is coming back here. And, the problem with that is that's a 2 to 3 to 4 to 5.
I was going to say that, it's all very well to say, right, I'm imposing these tariffs. I'm making things unaffordable to encourage you to open factories. But that takes years. In the meantime, what happens to the American consumer?
Right. And what happens to the retirement savings of all these people who are watching their accounts diminish? And, at the end of the day, Trump going to be in office in 5 or 6 years? Unlikely. And so, they can't just reopen or start up factories, at the drop of a hat. They've got to have planning. And part of the problem is that because there's so much uncertainty, no business leaders, no investors are doing any sort of long-term planning because nobody knows where it's going to be. So at the end of the day, it's the uncertainty that's difficult for so many people. He does have a lot of support, but when you start seeing people like Musk and the other Wall Street folks turning on him, is that a sign that he's going to have to change something?
That is what we will have to see. John Day, thank you as always.